Bishrameva means with intimacy, and Gauraveda means with great reverence. The husband is a very intimate friend. Therefore, the wife must render service just like an intimate friend. And at the same time, she must understand that the husband is superior in position, and thus she must offer him more respect. A man's psychology and woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man always wants to be superior to his wife, and a woman, as bodily constituted, is naturally inferior to her husband. Thus, the natural instinct is that the husband wants to post himself as superior to the wife. And this must be observed. Even if there is some wrong on the part of the husband, the wife must tolerate it. And thus there will be no misunderstanding between husband and wife. Vishwamedha means with intimacy. But it must not be familiarity that breeds contempt. According to the main civilization, a wife cannot call her husband by name. In the present civilization, the wife calls her husband by name, but in Hindu civilization, she does not. Thus, the inferiority and superiority complexes are recognized. Dominisha, a wife has to learn to control herself, even if there is some misunderstanding. So the name Vacha Madhuraya means always desiring good for the husband and speaking to him with sweet words. A person becomes agitated by certain material contacts of the outside world. Therefore, in his home life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. Sweet words. The Maha Vishnu and Krishna. going back in the address, validating that in United States, Ireland, Scotty, glory of the China, near the Shasha, Shukin, and the Master of the Irish Academy. Sri Krishna, James, and the Prophet, Jananda, Sri Avaikana, Hashimasi, glory of the Prince. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Let your previous happy, the Sindhu Gaya, Pritara Bhagya, your Vaishnava, the Mona, Vaishnava, the Mona. Sometimes Prabhupada is kind of old fashioned in a conditioned way. And of course, we don't really accept Prabhupada as being actually conditioned as such in the typical material sense, even at all. But such ideas definitely occur in the minds of some devotees. Yes. And sometimes there's controversy about this. But the understanding, I would say the general understanding by those who at least consider themselves to be, you might say, regular followers of Srila Prabhupada, or followers of Srila Prabhupada as Srila Prabhupada basically intended, perhaps something like that, they don't agree. In fact, they completely not just don't agree, but their perspective is very different. And that there are at least elements here. It's not, at least as far as I can see, it's not the whole thing, but there are elements here of what could fall into such a category in the minds of the quote-unquote more liberal, Western liberal style devotees. But like I said, those who are following Prabhupada in ways that at least generally would appear Prabhupada intended for us to follow him, that what should Prabhupada say here, even though in a certain sense it may be what you could say amusing, it may be just sort of, you know, you might think, what an ideal but something like that. But actually, Srila Prabhupada is instructing us here. Srila Prabhupada is instructing us, and the instructions of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada is Chandracharya. They're just strictly foundational and to be taken with complete seriousness as much as one is capable. Yes, it really is like that. And even though sometimes things are presented as we should do this, or devotees do like this, or men, male devotees, or female devotees do like this or that. And for us, from we're coming from, due to pre-Krishna conscious times, or just due to how we are even right now, after some years in Krishna consciousness, if we are taken aback this sort of idea that in cases like that, of course, it's often a very individual thing, but in cases like that, then at the very least, it should be some kind of aspiration. And of course, the very classic case in that regard is Srila Prabhupada himself, who was instructed very clearly on the first meeting and then in the very last communication, just there was no room really for doubt or maybe or even I'll try or I'd like to try or something like that. But Srila Prabhupada made it very clear to Srila Prabhupada that this is what he wanted him to do, and it would be highly beneficial. It would be just of the greatest benefit to him, for Prabhupada, and for those who, of course, the instruction was to preach in English in the Western world, and so obviously for the people who he would preach to. But in terms of, digesting things and in terms of one's personal situation, these considerations, and then in those terms, putting things into effect. Well, I think we all know very clearly that it took Srila Prabhupada a long time. It really took him, 40 years plus. That's the greater part of a person's lifetime before he applied that. In the meantime, Srila Prabhupada was meditating on it. And in the meantime, in different ways, in terms of the position that he was in and the possibilities that appeared to be there, Srila Prabhupada was trying to actually do it. But it's at least what was actually happening was really quite some distance, some way from what the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was really about. And Prabhupada's sort of deeper intention as far as fulfilling that desire was concerned. So here we read what some people, those people had mentioned, would consider very traditional, very Vedic. And it's true. It's very traditional, and it's very Vedic. And for some it may appear humorous, even. Others it may appear just, how on earth could I do that? But for others, who should be thinking, how can I try? Because this Prabhupada is instructive, and this is actually very good. This is very good for making one's life a success. Sri Sri Radha Radha Sri Giri Radha Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. And we see in Shastra classic examples of this, ladies who did like that, like Gandhari, who was a devotee and was extremely chaste and just as qualified practically as a woman could be in any decent terms. But because of her husband's condition, he was blind, she didn't want to accept a more sort of favorable or advantageous position to him. So she wore a sort of a mask or something like that, across her eyes. So she was effectively blinded, although she was, her sense of sight was quite normal. So she did like that. And Dhritarashtra, of course, was famous for being, is famous for being kind of bewildered and not understanding clearly enough what is right and what is wrong, and therefore being sort of dragged into the wrong things, even against some sort of deeper sense that he had, but which wasn't strong enough to do something else. Like, perhaps in another paragraph somewhere, Dhritarashtra expresses 1,000 reasons, I was told 1,000 reasons, why he shouldn't have gone against Krishna. Something like that. Some big number, because of that, and because of so many, really a lot of things, I shouldn't have gone against Krishna. But at every step, he went against Krishna and paid what a price, lost just everything. But Gandhari, who was a devotee, followed him. Then, of course, there's a very classic example, a very amazing and extremely transcendental example of Mother Sita, who, I believe, am I right, whose appearance day it is today. What a suitable day. And Mother Janana, who's another one, totally amazing soul, to say the least. So Mother Sita, one of the things, I'm not a sort of student of Ramayana as such, but I've read to some degree, that there is in the Gita Press Ramayana, which our devotees were using as their source when they were trying to present Ramayana for the BBT. So there is Sita's protesting when Lord Ram tells her that he is going into exile on his own. Well, he just says he's going into exile. And Sita asks, when are we going? That's what she says. When are we going? And Lord Ram tries to explain to her that she's not coming. Because she hasn't been put into exile. And, she's a woman. And it's just, in so many ways, it's just not suitable. Or right, or whatever like that. And Sita protests so extremely strongly, that what sinful activity have I performed that I am not allowed to accompany my husband? What have I done? It's intense. It's really intense. What is my disqualification? Tell me. And she says, interesting thing, very wonderful thing, that I've never in my life ever looked at another man. Ever. And I've never, ever thought of another man. Ever. So what is my disqualification? Because the position of a woman is to be with her husband. Hare Krishna. You know, because there are considerations, at least on, you know, pragmatic, practical, down to earth or whatever reasons. You know, first of all, is she sees her and he's run. That's a pretty good place to start off from. But actually, the principles are like that. And it's very interesting, Prabhupada is such a genius, such an incomparable genius, in terms, materially or spiritually, and particularly in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada is presenting these things in a matter-of-fact way here. So they're not to be taken lightly, or sort of, well, anyway, not to be taken lightly, shall we say. Of course, in one sense, there are certain simple practical points mentioned here, which are just very true. And as Prabhupada mentions here, that it's a good idea for a wife. There'll be no misunderstanding between husband and wife if she does certain things. Even perhaps against how your intelligence might possibly analyze the situation. Prabhupada makes a point, and it's just really a big point, that in terms of the conditioned nature, or just the nature of men, they have a strong tendency to want to be in the superior position. And it comes out in so many ways, in so many situations, with so many different people. But in one of the main ways it comes out is in relationship between man and woman. And in my association, limited that is there, with devotees from more, at least somewhat more Vedic backgrounds than our South African Indian, or South African female, shall we just say, I've seen situations where someone has to take a decision or take the lead, and the ladies just step back. They just step back. And they say, that, no, you're a man. You know, you have to do it. You have to decide. You have to take the lead. Even though they're intelligently capable people and very committed devotees. So man's psychology is there. And a woman's psychology is there. But this is Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. Oh, and what a thing is Kali Yuga. It's just too amazing. And it's becoming even more amazing. Just when you thought it had got as amazing as it could, it gets more amazing. Then comes the COVID virus. And you think, what? But don't worry, it's Kali Yuga, there will be something next. So in Kali Yuga, one fact in terms of these natures is that they're not as distinct and clear as they used to be when the modes were not operating as heavily as they are now. The modes are operating more heavily. And or we, the people, are more susceptible to them. This is Kali Yuga. So you get a greater mixing of modes. You get men with female tendencies, and you get women with male tendencies. At least what would classically be seen in those terms. So therefore, plus it's Kali Yuga, and it's just difficult to keep cool and particular duty and except some difficulty without protesting and getting disturbed about it. But Prabhupada here and elsewhere, Prabhupada makes the point that in a married situation, if a lady is able to accept like this, to a reasonable degree, shall we say, and not always, you know, the famous backseat driver. The backseat driving in every situation, not just in the most, but always got an opinion. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Well, you should have done this. That sort of tendency. If she can control herself sufficiently to, you know, when there's a need, give input in a sort of, in the way of describing a respectful way and not a sort of, you know, demanding way, and accept the outcome of the discussion, even if she feels it's not the best. Then the marriage, the relationship, will be able to maintain, as what Prabhupada points out here as the two main factors, intimacy and respect. Intimacy and respect. And without sufficient intimacy and respect, well, you know, maybe you can hang in and tolerate things and not go as far as divorcing, but it won't be a happy relationship. A happy relationship of sharing together in Krishna consciousness in these certain ways. And like this. So I've mentioned before, I'll mention again, on Would You Believe Facebook, of course you must know by now, I'm not a total Facebook that has to pay anything, but well, we're right on the right now. And it's 108 devotees, Would You Believe? And 104 on Instagram. But anyway, we're on Facebook, a couple, it must be a year to two ago now, that one man, one male devotee, old devotee, Prabhupada disciple, who'd been a devotee 45, 50 years, something like that, 50 probably, and he said, but he's still a householder, anyway, that's another thing, but he said, on Facebook, he made a public announcement, devotees of his, you know what happened today? My wife gave me the greatest compliment she's given me in the however many, many decades of marriage we've had together. She said, you know, you're actually quite a good husband. And, you know, you're such a good husband that if we take birth again, I wouldn't mind being your wife again. And, you know, he's a veteran. I just observe, that's all, at least in this lifetime. I'm sure I've been through it many times before. But it was very interesting that he, in such a candid and open way, expressed himself like that. Anyway, a number of you sitting here can comment and sort of give advice or application of these ideas better than me. But definitely Prabhupada makes this point, not only here but elsewhere. Even there's an interesting place we should Prabhupada talking about the position of a lady in Krishna consciousness in terms of spiritual master. Because as I'm sure we've all heard, the husband, traditionally, in a Vedic social context, is a type of spiritual master. And in a real way. In a real way. Yeah, substantial spiritual position. And the wife is relating, as Prabhupada says, with great respect. In that sort of context, at least to some degree. So Srila Prabhupada discusses there, it's very interesting, that a woman in terms of spiritual master, a married woman in Krishna consciousness, is in a better position than her husband. Because the husband only has one spiritual master, she has two. The spiritual master and the husband. You know, obviously it goes without saying that it is said. The husband has to be up to some reasonable standard. But the Prabhupada says on this. And Prabhupada, it appears, as I recall, it was a few years ago I read it, in the context where Srila Prabhupada is discussing, or there's some mention at least of the verse, Trinada Pisuhi Chena, Tulora Pisuhi Shinana. Amarina Manana Kerasvina Siddhahari, one of the most classic verses in our tradition, about humility. One should chant the holy names in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself low and the straw in the street. And so we all know that verse very well. No sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. And in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And the fact is that only in such a state of mind can one chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Otherwise, there will be interruptions from the mind. Yeah, so there's mention of humility, the relationship with the spiritual master. In fact, Prabhupada, maybe not exactly in that case, but elsewhere, Prabhupada, when a devotee asks Prabhupada, how can we tell that Lord Chaitanya accepted Ishwarapuri really as spiritual master, and not just as a formality, just, you know, so he could say he did it, or so other people would know that, well, Lord Chaitanya accepted the spiritual master. So did Lord Chaitanya accept him in the, if we may use the term again, classic sense of accepting a spiritual master? And Srila Prabhupada answers, yes. And we can tell because he spoke this verse, Trinada Pisuhi Chena, that verse. We can tell. Because unless one has a spiritual master, and unless one accepts one's position in the relationship with the spiritual master, one will not be able to have such feelings. One will not be able to be humble like that. It's not possible. So that's there. That's there in the relationship between man and woman. But it's Kali Yuga. So therefore you get men who are not strong, sort of, you know, psychologically, emotionally. And you get ladies who are stronger, at least, or even strong in those terms, whereas they would otherwise be, I mean, not that they wouldn't have strength, but it would manifest in a different way. You know, that very, like, very strong administrative kshatriya type of move. But still, it's good. Even if the husband makes a mistake, if the lady has the spiritual advancement and the depth of spiritual character, that she's able to accept it and live with it like that. But might be said, not every lady is like Mother Sita exactly, not every husband is like Lord Rama, and therefore challenges are there, and therefore care has to be taken when there is marriage care has to be taken to see as far as possible that some that compatibility is there. Otherwise, if the balance will just go wrong and generally things will fall apart. Often things will fall apart in due course. So Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada is presenting this, even though, you know, if we think of studying, obviously it tells something about us, obviously. But, you know, that may be okay, it may be understandable. I mean, it is understandable, actually, definitely. But we should at least understand that these are ideals and standards which Prabhupada first of all felt that are beneficial for us, for our Krishna consciousness, actually. If we can do them, oh, it will help us, we'll make progress. If we can't, well, you know, mercy is there, but it will be more difficult. But at the same time, as being beneficial, it will set a good example, and it's just right. It's just the right thing to do, according to Krishna consciousness. Anyway, you know, Kali Yuga, let me close, I think, yeah, by telling one little story, which some of you, I'm sure some of you have heard me tell, about how mixed up things are in Kali Yuga. Mixed up, sure. Women working in factories and offices and all that. There's this one lady in America who had to get a new passport, or entry passport. So she had to go to the government office and meet with the official and be interviewed and fill out a document and whatever. And the man, the official, was filling out the document. And the man said, okay, what's your name, right? Date of birth, right? Address, right? What's your occupation? She said, I am a housewife and mother. And the man said, no, I mean, what do you do? And she said, I'm a housewife and mother. And he said, I don't understand. I mean, what work do you do? I'm a housewife and mother. And the man said, oh, you mean you're unemployed? And she got upset and she walked out. You know, but then she came back some whatever later, because she needed to get this passport. And there was another person there to interview her. And the same person, but she was ready this time. Same procedure, you know, name, birth, address, and then occupation. She was ready. I am a child development technologist. and I said, oh, good, very good, that's nice. And she got her passport. But anyway, you know, like Prabhupada, he held on to that instruction. He never discounted it. He always held on to it. He never discounted it. And he was thinking how to do like that. And eventually, by Krishna's arrangement, things came to that stage. And the rest, of course, was history. And sure, mercy for us, my gosh. Unbelievable. So, it's good to have, for ladies, to have these types of aspirations in terms of personal character development. Of course, we are what we are. We are what we are. And that's what we are. And to change what we are, either if it's difficult for you, then don't get into a big panic. But you just have to be, anyway, you just have to be careful being married if you're going to be married, so that you don't get into one of these conflict situations which becomes unworkable. And as Bernard says here, a person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in the outside world means the man, because he's the one who's working in the outside world. That's another part of the story. Okay. A person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in the outside world. Therefore, in his home life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. Intimacy is about intimacy and great respect. Hare Krishna. Any comments, question from those who have actually had some experience in these things? Rather than theoretical people like me. So if you really do it like that, and if you really try to follow as much as you might be able, which might not be that much, but you know, maybe, like Devaguru said, Kardama, that's not lust, that's nice. You know, of course, there's another element which we didn't mention here, which, you know, some of the Sutra writers power to mention, that the husband has his heart to pay. Too. You can't just sit back and say, look, you know, this is what it says in Bhagavatam 3:23:2. Thank you very much. He's got a part to play also. He's really, really got a part to play. Which is also very demanding that he's really going to play the part properly. To actually be at least something like a spiritual master of the wife. Yeah. And you know, we did read, it was a couple of weeks ago now, in just some earlier part of the same narration, I read a couple of verses about Sita and Ram and how they interacted and their sort of consciousness towards each other. But then I read also, I think it's the seventh or is it the ninth canto? Anyway, the duties of woman, it's probably the seventh canto. And, you know, so all these things like this, a whole lot of them, here was just a couple, a whole lot of things that a wife should do. And at the end, it says, it's Narada Muni speaking, as I remember. In this way, a wife should serve a husband who is not fallen. And in the purport of that goes to, you know, he explains what that means. And that if the husband is, you know, sort of his condition is not good sufficiently, she's not bound to serve him. Yeah, just really, he's not experience, you know, as they say, looking in from the outside, but having had many opportunities, perhaps too many, to look in from the outside. Generally, we advise that the husband is fallen, but not too fallen, meaning, we could say different things about that, but at least not violent, abusive. At least, you know, he's got another perspective on life. But at least he's sort of okay, you know, you tell us the right, you can practice Christian consciousness if you want. Then best to stick with him and try to please him, actually, as much as reasonably possible. Because if you get him, if you reject him, leave, and if you haven't overcome the tendency within yourself to need the association of the opposite sex, then who knows what you're going to end up with, you know, down the road a little. And sometimes it happens, you see it happen, that a woman leaves a husband who was fallen and accepts another man, and then it becomes worse. I'm not answering the question, but I'm like, any other? Yes, Dr. Raj.
One of the chapter 4 says that even in the dad, under the third employer, you see, and it's a question that you leave the husband for the mother's house. The father's duty is another factor that you not to keep in the night, one night.
Yes, sure. But only if there's a danger.
When the accuracy is mentioned by a then elder should interfere to mentor. Otherwise, you can take it out.
You also get a marriage, right? Actually. You're also looking from the outside. It's easy to say, yes, you should do that. And yes, loud and clear, please. So I don't need, whether it's a husband or wife, whatever, actually do mean. They actually do mean. And if they try to be sort of strong and spiritual, you know, they're going to get themselves, and they do get themselves into much greater difficulty than they would have if they just accepted, okay, you know, I know the transcendental perspective, I'm trying, but in the meantime, I've got to go through this. And Kardama Muni, of course, seems to be a classic example. Yes, so it's like that. In other words, becoming Christian conscious, sure, it's a delicate operation. It is really. It's not just you write the book and you press button A and press button B and away you go. I mean, there's certain things which are very general and for everyone. But otherwise, when you start getting into it, it becomes very personal. Extremely personal. Yeah. And what is possible? see